When you have information, you have an advantage, and therefore many are willing to pay for it. People's ability to worry about things never ceases to amaze me. The most interesting aspect of the space story is the ability for millions of people that don't have access to have that access.
Hi, I'm Cherry Reynard, and welcome to Silicon Valley Bite Size, where we discuss, chew over, and get into the weeds of some of the biggest trends in tech investing. In this episode, we want to explore the subject of space and satellite technology. NASA's awe-inspiring Artemis II mission may only be a recent memory, and for many people, space tech can sound futuristic, even speculative. But beneath the headlines, something very practical is happening. Satellite networks are making it possible to access information and connectivity in places where it simply wasn't available before. So what does this all mean from an investment perspective? I'm joined by Mike Seidenberg, lead manager of the Allianz Technology Trust. Mike, great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
So Mike, I think when people hear space tech, they're thinking of moonshots and big headlines like Artemis II. What's the more practical investment story here?
I mean, the practical investment story here is really one around reusability, leveraging technology to efficiently launch satellites and other things into orbit. And then obviously, because we have such powerful chips, we're able to shrink that form factor around satellites and put them into orbit and create really compelling value propositions for potential customers. So it's a totally different paradigm with respect to how, you know, space used to be thought of with government agencies and whatnot. This is real commercialization and utilization of rockets in order to, you know, drive, you know, systems into orbit that people are going to pay for.
And that sort of thing of putting stuff in space has become much cheaper.
Much cheaper. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I actually see SpaceX land a rocket, I mean, my head just pops off. It's just what is required in order to facilitate that and to execute on that is really mind-boggling. Having said, you know, even with that, you know, their goal and others like them are to continue to bring down the cost per kilo of launching things. And you have just this backlog that they're seeing across the industry where there are just a lot of things that people want to put into orbit because they see new and innovative business models if they have access to, you know, satellite networks and the like.
Okay, so that's interesting. So this is really a connectivity opportunity. That's where the investment opportunity
lies. Yeah, I mean, primarily it's really around connectivity. I mean, I think there'll be an aspect of space tourism. I mean, count me out on that, I might add. I do think that, you know, this is really about creating services. I mean, you know, just anecdotally, I've just been shocked the number of people that I know that are really interested in having Starlink, not only for themselves, but for their families. And I think you'll see interesting business models emerge out of that connectivity. It reminds me a little of when cellular first became a thing, in that you saw use cases that would have never been modeled, in that, you know, I can remember going to India and talking to some of the cellular companies, and you had these, you know, subsistence fisher people, and they would have a cell phone, which made no economic sense, right? I mean, these are people living kind of, you know, at a very low economic level, but they would have a cell phone because the various ports they could go back into with their catch, their pricing was different, so they use that information from that cellular network in order to optimize price in that case. I think you'll see, you know, interesting use cases with, you know, satellite networks that we haven't seen yet. The most interesting aspect of the space story is the ability for millions of people that don't have access to connectivity and therefore the information to have that access.
Okay, so this is the bit that feels really interesting. I guess once people have access to certain types of information all the time, they start using it in ways that weren't in the original model.
Think about it. Like, you and I are very fortunate. We have good access to information and therefore can optimize decision making with that. If you don't have that in the world we live in, you're at a real disadvantage. So bringing that information to people that don't have the ability to access it is really valuable. When you have information in your hand, you have an advantage, and therefore many are willing to pay for it.
Okay. Mike, I wonder if you could bring it to life a little bit. So, you know, an example of this in action, what types of thing it's being used for?
As far as with respect to some of the satellite networks?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the best example I have is how productive I am on an airplane if I'm on a satellite network with respect to the interaction that you have kind of with the various productivity tools that you use primarily. If you think about just Outlook, I mean, you don't realize the fatigue that sets in if you're waiting to kind of get back an email or trying to communicate kind of with your coworkers. When you have that high speed, it's as if you're at your, you know, I put my Bose headphones on and I feel like I'm at work, but I happen to be sitting on an airplane. I think that's an interesting use case. I also think that, you know, people's ability to worry about things never ceases to amaze me. And, you know, this notion of paying for something in the event you're on a hike and you get stuck out, you know, without a cell phone and God forbid something bad happens. And here again, you know, the reality is that probably isn't a high probability, but a lot of people say, look, I want everybody in my family to always be able to, you know, access, you know, be able to call, you know, whatever, a, you know,
helpline, yes,
yeah. Or, you know, someone to rescue them. I think people are willing to pay for that.
And then what about the investment case? Because we've got the SpaceX IPO coming up, but that's obviously quite high profile. I'm wondering where value is emerging.
So on the SpaceX IPO, I mean, I think that's TBD. But if you just think about some of the existing public companies that are in the business of launching payloads into space, you know, we own one of them in the trust, and it's just a pretty compelling business with respect to just the backlog that they're seeing. And they should be able, as they get their next generation platform, which is a larger rocket, they should be able to take even more share. From some, there's just a backlog, and therefore it's a nice opportunity for a number two player.
And just sticking with the SpaceX IPO, is there a danger that that kind of cannibalizes other parts of the tech sector, or is that sort of regenerative market forces actually probably good?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably the former, not the latter, because if you think about the potential of the SpaceX IPO, and they're talking about a very large market cap, which would put it in a mega cap company. They're also talking about potentially having the ability to be immediately a portion of the index. That will drive dollars out of certain names and potentially into SpaceX, depending on the overall valuation that the company comes at.
Okay. And then what about Starlink? I mean, that's you've mentioned that
part
already.
Of SpaceX. I might
yeah.
add. Yeah,
I mean, how do you think about that kind of network and its influence?
Yeah, I mean, Starlink is one of those recurring revenue networks, so it's going to be really expensive to build, and it's probably going to be one of those things that a lot of people subscribe to. Who knows how much they'll use it or not use it? But I think that their ability to find a very attractive audience is a high one, in that I think that a lot of people want to have optionality outside of their existing cellular network. So it'd be another network that they could potentially access.
Okay, so it's really not a case of people at space. As an investment opportunity, isn't really about kind of people going to the moon or Artemis.
I mean, the cost is so prohibited. I mean, I don't know if I can't remember the exact price to kind of go up on one of those space rides. And I use that in quotes because I don't think they last very long. But I mean, it's just daunting, you know. So no, I don't think the goal of the billions of dollars being spent around, you know, space is to, you know, put, you know, big ships of people up there. But I think it's more around what are some commercial aspects of it and create, you know, models that probably have recurring revenue.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then just finally, if there's one thing investors should be taking away from this area, what would it be?
I mean, I would say this across all of areas of technologies, just be very cognizant of just things being, you know, people being overly excited about something, because ultimately what you want to do is make a really good risk reward decision. And that really boils down to really looking at growth rates and valuations and what's the opportunity. So, you know, I remind myself as we do our diligence, not to get overly excited or overly upset, but just to really be kind of fair balance about it. So you can make that decision from a place where you've done the work, you've looked at a model, and you basically ask yourself, what's the opportunity here?
Okay, great. Thank you, Mike. Very interesting chat, very interesting
area.
Great
to be with you.
Now, if you'd like to learn more about how Allianz Technology Trust approaches emerging technology areas such as connectivity, satellite infrastructure, and other long-term growth themes, you can find full portfolio details, insights, and performance information on the Allianz Technology Trust website. And if you're enjoying Silicon Valley Bite Size, please like, subscribe, and follow the series. Thank you so much for joining us.